Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Today, we are concluding our series that we've been looking at through Mark chapter 10. And in Mark chapter 10, we've been investigating the things that Jesus values. And over these weeks, Mark chapter 10 is fairly long, we've seen how Jesus values marriage, how it's a man and a woman united together for life. He also, in this chapter, we saw how Jesus values children. The disciples were going to chase all the children away, and Jesus said, "Let them come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of God," someone that would have faith. And then we looked at how Jesus values life, and that was Sanctity of Life Sunday. We talked about how Jesus values life and gives eternal life. We looked at that as we looked at the rich young ruler. And then last week, we looked at how Jesus values servant leaders, people that can look beyond themselves to the needs of someone else and think about someone else and use their influence and use their abilities for someone else, not just for themselves, servant leaders. Remember, James and John wanting to be on Jesus' right and left in the kingdom, and Jesus says, it's not for you to decide. It's not for me to decide who's on my right and left. And so we looked at servant leadership. Today we're going to see how Jesus places a high value on life, even eternal life. And this is the account of Bartimaeus receiving his sight. And so we're going to read there at Mark chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to conclude this chapter this morning as we read Mark chapter 10. So if you found your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We're going to start in verse number 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture and the message that it has for us this morning. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, Father, that we have gathered in your name around your word. So Father, use your word to speak to our hearts in a special way. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we praise you in advance for how you will use your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is continuing his journey. Last week we saw that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross, that thing that he had been born for, his destiny. And so he was making his way to Jerusalem. But on the way, he would go through Jericho. Now Jericho lies to the east of Jerusalem, and it's part of the journey up to Jerusalem is through Jericho. And so they find themselves in Jericho, and they're passing through this town of Jericho. But the first thing I want you to notice there on your message notes and in this passage is that Jesus was staying on course. Jesus was staying on course. You know, when you're on a journey, It's easy to get off course and to even get lost. When Carol and I moved to this area 2 years ago, it took us a little while to get acclimated to the different roads and different ways that we would go to different things. Now that we've been here, it's kind of second nature. We know how to get to Thomasville. We know how to get to Tallahassee and that kind of thing. But it's really striking in our town that if you don't leave the traffic circle around the courthouse, go in the right direction to get to your destination, you're not going to get there. If you head west on 90 off of the traffic circle, you're not going to get to Thomasville. And if you do get to Thomasville, you took the long way, right? It's staying on course, knowing where you're going, and knowing the directions to get there. Now, men have the reputation of not asking for directions very often, but with our modern technology, especially our iPhones, we've solved that because men normally don't have a problem asking Siri how to get somewhere. Whenever I'm in Tallahassee, even if I know exactly where it is, I'm getting directions there because I want to get there in the most efficient and straightforward way because I want to stay on course. I want to get my stuff done in Tallahassee so that I can come back to Monticello. And so there's an idea of staying on course. And what we see in this passage is that Jesus is staying on course. He's deliberately making his way up to Jerusalem, and he's going through Jericho. And along the way, he's ministering to people. It's not that he's rushing there, and he doesn't have time for anybody around him, but he's on his way, and he's deliberately staying the course because he knew that what God had for him, God's will for his life, was for him to go to Jerusalem. Because remember, last week he predicted for the third time that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be spit on, he was going to be abused, and then ultimately killed on a cross. And that was where Jesus was going, and even though that was going to be unpleasant, that was the direction he was going, and he was staying on course. I think there's a great lesson for us as modern day believers that we understand what God's doing in our life and how it is that we need to stay on course and not get distracted to the right or to the left, but to be narrowly focused on Jesus, what he would have us to do, where he would have us to go, what we would say to those around us, how we would use our influence for his kingdom and for his good. We need to stay on course. And in this passage, we see Jesus clearly staying on course. He goes through Jericho, and as he's leaving the town with this large group, they're traveling through, this blind man, Bartimaeus, begins to scream out to him. And I have a question for you this morning, and you don't necessarily have to answer out loud, although that wouldn't be the worst thing. How did Bartimaeus know about Jesus? He was a blind man. He was begging on the outskirts of Jericho, but he's going along, and he hears all this commotion, and he finds out that it's Jesus. How did he know that Jesus was there, and how did he know that Jesus could do anything for him? How do you think? Someone told him, right? He was a blind man, and so he was completely dependent on other people to be led to where he would beg for the day, to be given food, to be given water. He was dependent on others. And so the only way that that Bartimaeus knew about Jesus was that someone had cared enough for him that they told him. And I wonder what that conversation was like. I wonder what that conversation was. Maybe it was the person that led Bartimaeus to that certain place that he would beg every day. And I wonder if someone said, hey, Bartimaeus, there's this guy Jesus, and he might be traveling through Jericho, and he can heal your blindness. He is saying that he forgives sin. Maybe it was someone that had had an experience with Jesus, an encounter with Jesus, and they knew Bartimaeus, and they go to Bartimaeus and say, Jesus has changed my life. He says things that no one else has said. He does things no one else can do. I want you to know about this Jesus. And see, what I want you to notice there, the second thing on your message notes, number two, is your testimony, your Jesus story. And I want you to understand, and this is so important for us as a church to understand, how God wants to use us and our lives. He's changed our lives so that others can experience Jesus as well. See, we all, if we've trusted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we too have a Jesus story. And that's our testimony. And we had our new members class today, and we had two families in our class, and I've added a component to our new members class about our testimony and writing it down. And it has three parts. And this is what we mentioned in the new members class, and this is what I want to mention to you today. Our testimony has three parts. It has a before part. This was how my life was like before I trusted Jesus. Normally, it's a negative concept. Normally, it's a need that was in your life. This is before I received Christ, before I trusted Christ. Then there's a how. This is how I trusted Christ. I started going to church. I was at Vacation Bible School. My friend started ministering to me and telling me his story. This is how God started working. It's how you trusted Christ. It's the details. Listen, and this is your story, so you know the details already. This isn't something that you make up. It's just something that you shared that happened to you. Just like I like sharing about fishing stories or hunting stories or mission trip stories. It doesn't take any preparation to do that, because it's just part of your life. It's what you do. And then there's the now part. This is the difference that Jesus is making in my life right now. You see, there's power in your testimony. And see, Bartimaeus knew something about Jesus because someone cared enough about him to tell them about this man Jesus that was traveling through. So that when Jesus and the commotion of this man Jesus was coming through, he knew to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew to cry out to the person that could do something for him because someone had cared enough to share with him. You see, when I was 19 years old, I was working at a bank. I was driving a fast car. I was dating a beautiful girl, which is now my wife. I had a lot of things going good for me. But there was an emptiness. There was a missing part. I thought there had to be more to life than working 40 hours a week and having some fun on the weekends. There had to be something more to life than that. So I started looking for the missing part. And the way that I did that was I went to First Baptist Orlando, the child that my mother had taken me, the church that my mother had taken me as a child. I'd gone there to see their Christmas and Easter musicals and things. It's really a big deal there. And it was through the preaching of Pastor Jim Henry that I found out that the missing part was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was clear. That was what was missing from my life. And so I understood that I was a sinner, and I trusted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I walked the aisle. I got baptized and became a church member and just started growing in my newfound faith. And now I'm not wondering what the missing part is, because I know that that missing part was Jesus. Now I'm working in what God has purposed for me to do, because there's no missing part anymore. And see, what I just did was I shared my testimony with you. I talked about before there was a missing part, how First Baptist Orlando, and now there's no missing part. I'm just pursuing God's best for my life. You see, each one of you that have a relationship with Jesus, you can share your before and your how and your now. You can share those things, and it's powerful, because you tell your friends, the people that are around you that God's given you influence with, you can tell them your story, and it can change their life, because you never know what's going on in someone's life. And so I want to challenge each one of you to exercise your ability to minister to others through sharing your story, your Jesus story. Listen, we talk about so many things, don't we? I mean, we talk about the weather and how uncommonly warm it is. And then as Floridians, we talk about how cold it is and hope that it warms up soon. I mean, it's all at 50 degrees and we can't handle it, right? I mean, we talk about all kinds of different things. We talk about what's going on in local and national politics. And we talk about movies and music and just all kinds of stuff. And it's all good. But how much better when we break through and we share with someone the life-changing person of Jesus. We share with them our Jesus story. And so this This passage of Scripture shows us that someone had shared their Jesus story with Bartimaeus, and he knew about Jesus because someone had told him. The next thing I want you to notice there on your message notes is that we need to be a bridge to Jesus, not a barrier. Listen to verse 48 again. So this blind man, Bartimaeus, is crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," he says. And then listen to verse 48. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus, this teacher, this rabbi that's coming through, certainly he doesn't have time for this blind man, this blind beggar. And so people are keeping Bartimaeus away. They're rebuking him. They're saying, "Be quiet, don't cry out." What terrible advice for someone. I mean, why would someone put themselves between Jesus and someone that needs his ministry, someone that needs his touch and his healing? They put themselves there and rebuked him, and Jesus says, "Don't do that. Let him come. Bring him to me." And this reminds me of Jesus and the little children. The little children were coming, and the parents were bringing the little children to Jesus for him to bless and for them to minister to. And the disciples were like, "Get these children out of here. Jesus doesn't have time for them." And Jesus strongly rebukes them and becomes indignant with them. So he doesn't like it when someone gets between the person that he died on the cross for and him, right? Jesus is not going to put up with that. And so he says, "Bring Bartimaeus to him." You see, we need to see how we can be a bridge to help people cross over from where they are to Jesus rather than a barrier. And that barrier being that thing that's hard to cross and we're keeping people out. Y'all know I like to eat and I like to support local restaurants. And last Monday, I was excited to go down to Hardee's because we have a Hardee's in town now. And so I was going to have breakfast at Hardee's. And I got down there, and the sign said, "Opens Monday." It must have been later in the day Monday because they were closed. They were completely closed. And in front of the doors, just to let everybody know that they were closed, there were these two barriers like you would see on the street. They were blocking the doors so that no one could go in. There was a barrier there. Listen, we don't need to be a barrier keeping people out. We need to be a bridge helping people connect the dots. There's a lot of people, just like when I was younger, when I was 19 and wanted to know that missing part, there's a lot of people that want to know the missing part. And the missing part is Jesus. And you see, we need to be a bridge to help them get from one side to the other. The famous Billy Graham track entitled "Steps to Peace with God" shows a picture of a person on one side of a chasm, like a Grand Canyon, trying to get from where they are to where God is. And the track, as it unfolds, and it's just a small little track, it's the cross that's laid down between the points that allows someone to get from one side to the other. And you see, we need to be that kind of bridge, helping people get from where they are to where they need to be, where they can encounter the King. They can encounter Jesus. And so just as we have a powerful Jesus story, we should strive to be a bridge, not a barrier. But sometimes church people become barriers, don't we? I mean, sometimes our reputation in town, sometimes how we deal with people, sometimes we judge them in their sin rather than care for their hearts. I mean, we can become a barrier, and sometimes it's the church people, it's those church hypocrites that keep people from the faith and keep people out of the church. But see, when we have the mentality of sharing the power of our Jesus story and we love people knowing that Jesus will deal with their sin, we become a bridge rather than a barrier. And listen, I hope and it's my desire that our church would be a bridge for the kingdom of God into our community. That people would know that God loves them because of us. That people would know that God has a plan for them and that God is willing to save them through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, through us. Listen, we need to be a bridge out into our community rather than a barrier. And so this man, Bartimaeus, and good for him, he shouts even louder. People are trying to keep him away from Jesus, but he's determined. He's heard that Jesus can change his life, and so he shouts even louder, and good for him, because it's fixing, his life is fixing to be changed. And listen to verse number 49. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you. Listen to those first words, Jesus stopped. Nobody busier than Jesus. He literally has the weight of the world on his shoulders. There's nobody that has more pressure or more responsibility than Jesus, and Jesus stops for Bartimaeus. And I want you to see that. I want us to take a moment to think about that Jesus was not too busy for Bartimaeus. Jesus was not too important for Bartimaeus, that Jesus stopped and he saw Bartimaeus. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. Jesus stops and he cares about you. He cares about every detail of your life. He's not too busy for you. He's not too busy for the details of your life. He stops and he focuses his attention on you, especially when you are crying out to him like Bartimaeus. I don't want to go by this part, because there are many in this room, you need to know that God loves you, that Jesus is for you, that Jesus will stop and he will take care of you. You need to know that this morning. You need to be reminded of that this morning. Jesus isn't too busy. Jesus isn't rushing through. You're not too insignificant for him. Listen, he died on the cross for you. The scripture says, even if you had been the only one, Jesus would have died on the cross for you. And so I don't want to go by this moment. The way that Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus is the way that he will stop for each one of us. And listen, it's also the way that he will stop for each person that you can share your testimony with. Each person that needs him and cries out to him. It's why he came, so that he would meet our needs, our spiritual need of salvation, but also meet our needs in our life. He walks every step with us, and when we understand that, we cry out to him. We place our faith in him, because we know that he is able to do in our life what we cannot do in our lives ourselves. And we'll not find that part, we'll not find the help that we need unless we cry out to him. And when we do cry out to him, we can know that he's going to stop. He's going to pay attention to us. So many times I've missed so many opportunities with my family, with my wife and my kids. Too busy working on the thing in the garage, or too busy cutting the grass, that I didn't have time to just stop and listen to them, or stop and pay them attention. So many opportunities we miss like that, but listen, Jesus does not miss those opportunities. And Carol and kids in the room, I'm sorry about that. I'll try not to be like that anymore. Paige over here, she's like, uh-oh, he said my name. Something bad's happening. Listen, number four on your message notes, Jesus will always stop for you, which leads us to the fifth thing, positive movement towards Jesus. Jesus honors positive movement to him. Bartimaeus throws aside his cloak. He probably didn't have much more than his cloak and other things. He jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus, certainly being guided by someone else who takes him to Jesus. Jesus is going to honor positive movement to Jesus. Listen, you're either moving towards Jesus or you're moving away from him. And Jesus honors positive movement towards him. And so think about that in your life. Every step counts. Are you going towards Jesus and towards a deeper relationship with him? Or are you going away from him and ignoring him? Positive movement counts. Which leads us to number six, and this is exciting. This can happen in our life. In verse 51, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Now, why did Jesus ask him that question? He knew what he wanted. I mean, he was blind, and he knew he was lost, and Jesus was going to die on the cross for his sins, and so he knew But he asked Bartimaeus this question in order for him to verbalize it, in order for him to proclaim what it was that he needed. And he clearly says, Rabbi, he says, teacher, I want to see. Listen, there are many things in our lives that we need to bring to Jesus, and he's going to ask us, what do you want me to do in your life? What do you want me to do? And he wants us to trust him and to verbalize those things to him in prayer. And so this is a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And then verse 52, it says, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. What an amazing thing. This is a life-changing encounter. He encounters Jesus. Jesus stops and sees Bartimaeus and says, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want to see. And immediately he receives his sight. And listen, what does Bartimaeus immediately do? He starts following Jesus as close as he can. Jesus has changed his life. He can see. And so he begins following Jesus. Listen, when we realize how far we are from God, and then when we are saved, how close we are because of what Jesus did for us, and we understand what Jesus did for us, that makes us follow. And that makes us unsatisfied with following at a distance. We want to follow closely because this man, Jesus, has changed our lives. And Bartimaeus begins to follow. And then number 7 on your message notes, faith in the Son changes everything. Faith in the Son changes everything. And I want you to think, we talked 2 weeks ago about the rich young ruler. This rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus mentions the Ten Commandments, and he says, all of these things I've done. And then Jesus, knowing his heart, says, go sell your stuff, and then come follow me. And he goes away sad, and he goes away downcast because he was a man of great wealth and influence, and he couldn't sell all of his stuff to follow Jesus. Contrast the rich young ruler now with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus has nothing. He's begging on the side of the road. And he hears this commotion, and Jesus is coming along, and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He is face to face with Jesus and receives his sight. Listen, he didn't go away sad. He started following as closely as possible because faith in the Son changes everything. And the difference between these two men is what they did with Jesus, right? The rich man, he was coming to Jesus in his own merit and his own power and his own wealth. And he was self-sufficient. Bartimaeus came to Jesus with nothing to offer. He had even left his cloak on the ground. I mean, he didn't even have his jacket anymore. And he comes to Jesus, and what you do with Jesus changes everything. Bartimaeus embraces him and says, Rabbi, I want to see, and his faith heals him. Jesus, because of his faith, heals him. So I wonder you this morning, what have you done with Jesus? Has there been a time in your life where you realized that you were separated from him, you realized that you were a sinner, and that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that you ran to Jesus, and you said, Jesus, save me. Listen, that's the beginning of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's saying yes to Jesus like Bartimaeus. Or have you held Jesus at a distance like the rich young ruler? You've wanted to come to Jesus on your terms, not his. You see, it's up to you, and faith in the Son of God changes everything. And so whether it's for salvation or whether there's an issue or something happening in your life that you need to trust the Savior for, Jesus will stop, and he will listen to you, and he will work in your life in a way that only he can. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation, and we are going to have an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus. And maybe that's a public decision that you come down for, to say you want to trust Christ, you want to join the church, you want to be baptized. Or maybe it's simply staying where you are and trusting Jesus with a detail in your life that you've been trying to do this thing in your life and you can't do it. You know it's beyond your ability, and you want to trust him. You want to run to Jesus and allow him to make that change in your life. And so I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to spend some time singing, and we're going to spend some time dealing with what God has said to us. And so let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this account of Bartimaeus receiving his sight and following your son Jesus. And Father, would we do the same thing? Would we go to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? And would we say, Jesus, we need you in every area. So Father, we pray that you would give us courage, that you would be with us now during this time of invitation. And we praise you in advance for the great things that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.